2 Timothy chapter 2, please. I'm happy you're here this morning. I'm going to ask that question that I asked last Sunday. If you're seated, do me a favor. If you do not have a bulletin, raise your hand. Mike, I'm going to need you. Mike, and who else back there? Brian. Brian, would you help Mr. Rock, please? If you do not have a bulletin, raise your hand. We have some. Raise your hand, please. Right here, Mike. Well, that's all right. Who else doesn't have a bulletin? All right, everybody's got a bulletin. Before we stand, I want to say a couple of things. First of all, Abuelita is leaving to go back to Belize before it's too cold. God has been very good. We've had some of the best weather the last week or so, 2 weeks. It's been perfect. It will get cold, though, so God bless you going back to Belize, okay? Let's see, did I want to mention something else? I don't know if I did or didn't, but that'll be good enough for now. Let's all stand, please. This morning's message is a biblical message. It is not a patriotic message. It is a biblical message. It is a message about an idea or a question. What's it mean to be a conservative? Now, some of you have heard the word thrown around. It's thrown around in many ways. So I think it's important that you understand me, our church, hopefully what you believe. And, you know, what I'm going to say this morning will be it'd be hard to object. But I want to confirm to you what it means to be a conservative. I'm, of course, primarily theologically conservative, which then has implications in the way I see our country. But I want to say one more thing. We have a group in this room that either most people in this room didn't come from America. So if you listen, you will learn, I think, a biblical understanding of that also. Because being a conservative has little to do with what I heard for 4 years. We do have political conservatives in America. Don't get angry, please. Trump was not one of them. There were people around him that were. Pence is a conservative. But this morning, you will be just like, I never thought about it. That will be the point. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. I'm assuming everyone in this room knows that Paul is writing his last letter to Timothy. By the way, what do you talk about if you know you're going to die? I'm asking you, what do you talk about if you know you're going to die? You start talking about those things that are the most important to you. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, from me. Do so in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, Timothy, those things that you've heard, hold on to them. Especially those things you've heard from me. By the way, this is the nature of being a conservative. Verse 14. That good thing. He doesn't tell us what it is, and I'm not going to describe it today. But that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, guard, keep watch over. By the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Chapter 2, verse 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, Timothy, the things you, Timothy, have heard from me among many witnesses, meaning in church settings, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So you see, we've said it before, there is this chain from Paul and the apostles to Timothy, to those he trained, to those they're going to train. It's passing on the faith. So I'm going to ask a question. Look at me, everyone. What's a conservative? I think I say this in your bulletin. Let me make sure. I'd ask Bambi to put this in there, so I'm sure she got it correct. My first definition of a conservative is simply this: one who believes there are things worth... Read it with me. Those, one who believes there are things worth conserving. Worth conserving. Every word is important. This also tells you there are things not worth conserving. In every culture, in every family, in every ethnic group, there are things that should be cast aside. But a conservative simply believes there are things worth conserving. I am a conservative Christian, and I am a conservative American. That's what we're going to talk about from the text this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Help me as I try to share very, very simple ideas. Lord, this is life and death. A church must have a proper spirit, an attitude, or an understanding of how things hold together. Doesn't hold together because we're all from the same place. Or we all eat the identical same foods or speak the identical same language. It holds together because we are people attempting to believe, practice, and conserve for the next generation those things that are worth conserving. Help me as I share very simple ideas this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I hate to say this, 1996 or 7, I was in the office, and I received a phone call, and I wish I remembered the lady's name. And she was a wonderful lady, and I'd have to talk to some old people that would remember her. But I received a phone call from a secretary from the Greater Faith Church Baptist. She was on the phone, and she said her name, and she said, "I'm the secretary for Pastor Fairchild from Greater Faith Church Baptist." Weird name, but that's what it was called. She said, "Would you be willing to talk to our pastor?" Of course. So Pastor Fairchild, didn't know him, never heard of him. He got on the phone, and he started talking, and he really went about. He went outside of himself. I'm going to give something away so you know he was an African-American pastor. Pastored in Waukegan. He said, "The Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, is planning to come to Waukegan." He said this question. He said, "Would you or your church be opposed to the Ku Klux Klan?" And I said, "Yes, about 100% opposed to the Ku Klux Klan." And I said, "I don't even think they would like us." And then, of course, we talked. I didn't know Pastor Fairchild, and I'll say this honestly, he was crazy as crazy can be. A lot of good traits. I had meals with him, met with him here and there, preached for him a time or two. Very good man. By the way, he's with the Lord now. This was 1990, it was either 96 or 97, whenever the KKK, and you can find it online, was going to come to Waukegan. They never came. Well, fast forward to 1998, 1999, 2000, right in that area. We're coming up for an election. Bill Clinton is getting done, and we're coming up to the elections of George W. Bush, etc. Pastor Fairchild is in Vista or Victory. I don't know what it was called in that period of time. The hospital down this way. I went to visit him. He had had some health problems. He had liver problems, which are never good. So I drove down to the hospital, went in to see Pastor Fairchild. His wife was there. We talked, laughed, prayed with him. And folks, you know when you're, I don't like to get people too angry at me. He brought up Hillary Clinton. He liked Hillary Clinton. And he started talking, and by the way, I just let him talk. You understand? You say, do you like Hillary Clinton? I like her exactly the same amount I like Trump. Zero. I didn't want to tell him my opinion. But you know what happens in conversation? Sooner or later, he says, what do you think of Hillary Clinton? I should have said, but it was too early. My phone is ringing, but it was before cell phones much. So I still remember the words that I said. Well, Pastor Fairchild, you know I'm a conservative. And I'll never forget, I hope, till the day I die, his response. I mean, he didn't pray. He didn't wait. He says, you're not a conservative. Do you know what the next phrase was? You like black people. Because in the African-American community, to be conservative means you're a racist. Better wake up and smell the coffee. I'll never forget that day. Of course, what was I talking about? I'm a conservative morally. I'm a conservative. I love America. I'm a conservative. I love what the scripture teaches. But he was using conservative in a totally different way, that you don't love anybody that doesn't look like you. So my friends, everything today is a simple response. What does it mean to be a conservative? Is that a fair question? Look in on your bulletin. My short reply is simply this. A conservative is one who believes there are things, what? And by saying worth, what else does that mean? There are things not worth conserving. Listen, friends, you're not looking at a stupid person. I have read two books in my lifetime. I'm intelligent. I've been around a week or two. If you think I, as a conservative, wants to hold on, I actually saw this kind of foolishness. If you're a conservative politically, that means you want to go back to slavery. What? First of all, we never had it in Illinois. My family fought against it in the Civil War from Illinois. But we have all kinds of political stupidity. You got me? So what I want you to understand as a conservative fundamentally is this. We believe there are things worth conserving, which by implication means there are things not worth conserving. Of course. Of course. Now I'm going to expand on that definition. I believe, in a nutshell, a conservative is one who believes in conserving some things. Something or some things. Holding on to something or some things. By the way, we do it for someone. Who is the someone? Who is the someone you're conserving for? For the future. So it's someone who believes that we are to conserve certain things for someone or someone's in the future, and we do it from somewhere and someone or someone's. We got it from someplace. 2 Timothy 2, you don't even have to get out of your notes on the page. Paul says to Timothy 2, verse 2, the things, that's the gospel, that's Christianity, that is the faith. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me or from me among many witnesses. So it's not something hidden. It's not a secret. It's not the secret lost gospels. The things, Timothy, that you have heard from me among the churches that we've been in. He says, the very same, those things, what? Not only conserve, but conserve for someone. The same commit thou to faithful men and women who shall be able to teach others also. So we have Paul, Timothy, those he teaches, and those they teach. That is the nature of conserving and being a conservative. We're holding on to things worth conserving. So point number one, it's in your notes. By the way, you might want to write things down. You don't have to. A conservative, number one, is about conserving something or some things. It can be plural, it can be singular. Fundamentally, that's what it means to be a conservative. I want to conserve some things. I want to hold on to them. I want to believe them, practice them. By the way, some things, which implies not everything. Some good things, which implies not any bad things. Some great things and great ideas, none of the bad ideas. It's conserving the good, the best, the right, the beautiful, and not conserving the evil, the worst, the wrong, and the ugly. We're trying to conserve some things, good things, the best things, the right things, the beautiful things. Can I ask you a question? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Why do you think I'm a pastor? Because I believe the faith that I learned as a kid, in broadly conceived, is what I want to then pass on. I want to conserve the things that I have heard. But it's bigger than that, because you don't believe the Bible from nowhere. It's part of our heritage. It's part of our history. And bring all of that forward and hand it off to the next generation. It's about conserving something. Turn your Bibles to Acts 13, please. Acts 13. I'm going to have you look at two verses. Is everybody with me? By the way, if you walk out of here this morning and say, I don't know what he was talking about, that's on you. This is going to be so simple, how can you not understand? A conservative believes there are things worth conserving. Conserving something or some things. Say, what do you want to conserve? Well, friends, I want to conserve, first of all, Christianity. I want to conserve, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I want to conserve the gracious nature of salvation, and that by simple faith in Christ, we receive eternal life. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to conserve justification by faith alone. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Sola fide, by faith alone. I want to conserve Galatians 3:13. It's the doctrine of imputation. How are we saved? Please look at me. There's way too much God talk in America. And there's not enough Christian talk. It's not that God does something for you. Our hope is not found in a generic God that makes me feel good. Our hope is found in this. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us. Redeeming means to pay a price. He's paid a price to bring us out of sin, out of our condemnation, and to give us eternal life. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do it? Being made a curse for us. Imputation. The righteousness of Christ is put on my account. My sins are put on his account. I want to proclaim that to the day I die. By the way, you are not saved because of the color of your skin or how handsome you are or how ugly you are. You are saved because of Christ. And I want to conserve that and not do God talk. All you have to do is hear God talk, and you know it. Basically, God is in my back pocket. He makes me have a better life. Man, our hope is not in that. Our hope is in the triune God who before eternity past planned this great salvation so that we could be saved. God the Father sending his Son to earth for our sins. Wow. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ, you don't have to look there. We're going to stick in Acts 13. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just man for the unjust. For what purpose? That he might bring us to God. My friend, Christianity is rooted in Christ. Acts 13:38. I hope you like this. These are two of my favorite verses. Can I say this? I was talking to someone 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Look at me. Everybody in this room is going to have to come to these verses. You say, why? Because we're sinful people. We sin. And I'm not making light of our sin, but we are sinners. We are bent towards sin. We love sin. And not only that, we do sin. But look at what Paul says in this great sermon. Be it known unto you, speaking to Jewish people at this time, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, who's this man? Jesus the Christ. That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by who? Who's him? Christ. And by him, all that believe, every single person that believes, are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Look, if you would, to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. Friend, when Pastor Fairchild told me, you're not a conservative, and then he said, you like black people. That was his language. Well, if that's what it means to be a conservative, he's correct. But that's not what a conservative is. A conservative simply believes there are things worth conserving. Can I say this to you? Please look at me. Do you recognize, friend, that you're going to need forgiveness? Some of you might even sin after you get saved. You say, I don't sin anymore. Folks, I was in the Philippines. I ran into a group. They actually don't believe they sin. It's a cult from Korea that came to the Philippines. They said, if you get saved, you no longer sin. And I just looked at them and said, can I speak to your spouse? Now, there's people in this room, Louis Heras, everybody knows he sins. Can I have an amen? Of course, Robert, we know he sins too. By the way, I also know you sin. What hope do you have? You say, Pastor Warren, I got saved when I was a kid and I've messed up my life. Yes, that's the whole point of forgiveness, folks, that God still forgives us in Christ, not because you're a good person. You have a heart of gold and all that nonsense. No, you have a rotten heart. You are a sinner. You're bent to sin. But our God in grace forgives you. Wow. I want to conserve that. I'm trying to conserve some things. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. Paul comes to the elders, the pastors at Ephesus. He says this in chapter 20, verse 18. By the way, we don't have time. I'm just going to read a few verses. I don't have time this morning. He says this, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, Paul says to the elders, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He says, and how, and I love this, friend, this is part of conserving. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, so otherwise in church settings and in individual homes, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, also to the repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, he says to the group at Ephesus, and now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. Look at me, friends. I'm going to try to say this as nicely as I can. If I look at the Christian faith, there's three pieces. There is the gospel and all the doctrine connected to the gospel. There's also gospel worship. You say, what's gospel worship? It's Bible-centered, congregation-centered, simple, okay? There's gospel, gospel worship, and there's, look at me, gospel lifestyle. We live according to the gospel. Now, I'm going to say right up front, no anger at you. I don't know all of you. I'm against drinking. Now, if you drink, I don't hate you. I'm not talking about alcohol, excuse me. I better narrow that down. Because I have somebody here, he's against drinking? No, I'm not against drinking water. You can drink coffee. You can drink tea. You can drink soda. You can drink diet soda. You can drink apple juice, grape juice. I'm against drinking. You say, why? Everybody look at me. Do you have any idea why? Two reasons. Do you have any idea? Two reasons. Number one, I think it's what's taught in the Bible. And number two, I am conserving what was handed to me from the 1700s. As far as I know, my family broadly has been in Baptist circles in North Carolina in the separate Baptists of the 1700s, and they have all, look at me in the eyes, all been against drinking. Yes, you say, Pastor Warren, you're a traditionalist. No, I'm a conservative. I want to ask you a question. What's the upside of getting drunk? Dave Haas always says something like this. Dave, I love your way of saying it better than mine. Nothing good ever happens when you add alcohol. By the way, I can go out and have a great time. You add alcohol and you go out and have a stupid time. Can I have an amen? You say, Pastor Warren. Friends, I am committed to this. The gospel, gospel worship, gospel lifestyle, and I come from a certain place. I could not look my 90, almost 1-year-old mother in the eyes and tell her, I think it's okay to drink, Mom. Couldn't do it. Could you? Maybe you could. I couldn't do that. I've seen my mother throw a fit over alcohol. When my dad and mom got saved, my dad came home one night. I don't know if you've ever heard the story. He was drinking with his buddies, and Mom's real simple. If you're my husband and you're living here, you're not drinking. That's the kind of, that little woman. She's not perfect. I think she is, but she's probably not. Now, friends, I don't want to conserve everything. You say about Christian, I grew up in First Baptist Church of Fieldon, Illinois. Cliffy and Judy, you guys have been there. Now, what you don't know, when I went to church there as a boy in the 1960s, from 1960 forward to 1975, during those 15 years, I do not want to conserve this. They didn't have a bathroom. They had an outhouse. I do not want an outhouse. Can I have an amen? So, you know, people say, oh, you're a conservative. You don't believe in change. I'm really good with indoor bathrooms. By the way, we didn't have air conditioning. I can still remember in the old, old days, it had a high ceiling, and you have to be ancient or older than ancient, and they didn't have fans. They had this big, ugly thing that was about 25 feet across, and it just kind of did this. And it was up high. Did it do anything? No, I like air conditioning. I like furnaces. Can I be honest with you? I even like cell phones. I'd hate to think that I need to do something. How you ever thought about this? Every place you are, you go someplace and you call somebody, what can I do for you? How did we survive without cell phones? I'm not interested in going back into the 1600s and saying that's the golden age. No. A conservative believes there are things worth conserving. We're conserving something. The faith. The whole faith. And nothing but the faith. The gospel. The gospel worship. Not rock and roll concerts. Not high church. Gospel worship. Where God's people sing together. Pray together. Have the Lord's Supper together. We do these things together. Centered around the Word of God. And gospel living. I don't want to have church at, by the way, our little country church probably still has church on Sunday night at 7:30. Somebody raise your hand. Tell me why. Yeah, you were taking care of the cows. You had to milk the cow. If you had it at 6 o'clock, nobody would be there because who's taking care of the animals? From about 4 to 6, that's when you do the chores. You milk the cows, you feed the cows. You grew up like this. But I don't want to have church at 7:30. You say, why? We live in the city. Folks, we don't believe in conserving everything. But I do want to conserve the faith. As long as I'm here, we're going to continue to have Sunday school, even if you don't come. We're going to have Sunday night, even if you don't come. We're going to have some form of Wednesday night, even if you don't participate. I'm going to say this old man, that younger man and the one in the Philippines are committed to being a person who conserves. Do you hear me? It's just that simple. But I must continue past that. I'm also a conservative American. Now, please hear me. I hope all of you stick with me to the end, because I'm going to say things, some of you are going to go, what? Because you're going to say, aren't conservatives, don't they hate Mexicans and hate immigrants? I want everyone to look at me. Do you know how many people in this room is not an immigrant or didn't come from immigrants? The answer is zero. You say, I'm Native American. You didn't hear my question, did you? Nobody is from this part of the world. Some of us, I've been here longer in my family than your family. Yes, probably. So what? Folks, we're all immigrants, but I'll get to that later. Yes, I'm a conservative, but not that kind. You say, what do you mean by a conservative? Well, when it comes to being a conservative American, are you ready for this? I want to conserve the best things of America. Can I say that again? I want to conserve the best things of America, which means this: the best ideas, the best practices, the best moments, the best stories. I am committed in my life to bringing them to the pulpit, the best ideas, the best moments, the best practices, and the best stories. Yes, I like history. I am not a fantasy guy when it comes to history. I like the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And much of our history has been good. Some of it's been bad. Some of it's just been ugly. I want to say this to my buddy Rolando. Rolando, it's not part of your life, but it is Tony Cardenas and Rachel. They're a generation older than you. They're 10 years older than me, or more or less. When Tony grew up in San Antonio, if he spoke Spanish, they would beat his hands with a ruler. There's something wrong with that. I'm not afraid to tell the truth. Are you? But you got to tell the whole truth. The beautiful part is America has done a lot of wrong, but we have ways of correcting the wrong, which I kind of like. So as long as I'm here, I'm going to be talking about the good parts of America. Yeah, I can deal with the ugly too. I see it. Bothers me. Yes, I like 1621 and our pilgrim forefathers that came here for religious freedom in the Massachusetts Bay Area, who 50% of them or more or less had died the previous year, and they had the first Thanksgiving celebration. Yes, I want to remember that Thanksgiving celebration happened a few times. It happened again later under General Washington and President Washington during the worst times of the American Revolution. You see, I have in my hand, see this? I have about 25 pages. I'd give you a copy if you'd read them. I read these regularly. Have you read this regularly? When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people, America, to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. This is called the Declaration of Independence. The next line says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes, and if you're a racist, I already know your answer. Well, but we didn't do it. Yes, but see, you're missing the whole point. I didn't say we're going to conserve or I'm interested in conserving all the bad. I said these ideas, no one has spoke better ideas to free a nation. By the way, do me a favor. Actually do it. Go home this week. Look on the internet. Martin Luther King Jr. speech in D.C. I Have a Dream speech. Read the speech. Do you know what he quotes? These very lines. Friends, these have been the lines that have liberated people. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States and General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors. Folks, I have pages. Do you want to read? I have the Gettysburg Address. I have Lincoln's second inaugural. I have the letters from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist. Cliff and Judy, you have been to Rhode Island. You have been to the synagogue that President Washington received a letter from. And President Washington wrote a letter back where we didn't have anti-Semitism, which we now have among NBA players that are racist. I'm going to read you just a piece of it. It's to the Touro Synagogue. It's not short. I mean, it's not long, so I will just read one line of it. He writes to the Jewish people. Oh, by the way, why were these Jewish people here? Because in 1492, the Sephardic Jews were kicked out of Spain, and they were basically vagabonds wandering around the world trying just to live. But in a little place called America, they came. In those days, not Ashkenazi from the north, Sephardic from Spain and the Mediterranean. They came to America because they had freedom. Our first president addressed them. They wrote him a lovely letter. We don't have time to read. You can find it online. The Touro Synagogue. You can get both letters. He writes back. He says to them, the citizens of the United States of America have a right to applaud themselves for having given to mankind examples of an enlarged and liberal policy, a policy worthy of imitation. All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship. It is now no more the toleration is spoken of as if it was by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. For happily, the government of the United States, this is one of the greatest lines ever written, which gives to bigotry no sanction and to persecution no assistance. He then quotes the Bible to these Jewish people who have had generations of people killed and murdered by so-called Christians. He quotes the Old Testament and he says this. He says, may the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in the land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of other inhabitants, while everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. Friend, I could read all day. Look at me in the eyes. If your kids come to this school, they're getting all this. There's a young lady that teaches here. She's going to teach them all of this. But in every school around here, we teach racism and hatred. You say, racism? Yeah, we hate other people. That's our motif now. As long as I'm here, we're not playing that game. I'm going to conserve the Christianity. And by the way, no room for Christianity for any racism and hatred. I'm going to preserve and conserve the best. Now, by the way, I didn't say everything. I have people say, well, do you want to reinstitute slavery? Are you stupid? Do you want to reinstitute Jim Crow? No. Do you want to no, my friends, I have no desire. I have all opposition against slavery, racism, prejudice, hate. Listen, suspicion, conflict, and oppression. Do I want to have abortion again? Do you understand? From the beginning of our country until 1973, we had no abortion. Now we've kind of gotten rid of it, but we still have it. I want it gone. How about gambling? You say, well, you think that's, yes, gambling. Do you realize in my lifetime, gambling has been reinstituted into America? Friends, do you not know when I was a pastor in St. Louis, they started reinstituted the first gambling boat in the state of Illinois, Alton, Illinois, right where I grew up, to help the poor people. That's been helping poor people get poorer. All right. See, Pastor Warren, you're ranting and raving. Thank you very much. Look at your notes. What's it mean to be a conservative? It's conserving something. Say, what do you want to conserve? The whole counsel of God. The gospel and all that it implies. Gospel worship. Gospel lifetime. And listen, friends, please hear me. The best things of America. Our Declaration, our Constitution, our idea that all people are created equal. Those kind of ideas I want to bring forward. I could tell story after story after story. I'm going to tell those too. I want to bring everything good forward. Listen, yes, we've had racism. We have it today. Yes, we've had slavery. We no longer have that. Yes, we've had Jim Crow. I want none of that because I only want to conserve the best things, the good things, the right things, the beautiful things. That's what it means to be a conservative. But, number two, a conservative is someone who's conserving some things for someone. And the things, look at me, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same do what? All right, look me in the eyes, everybody. There are people in this room that vote conservatively politically that are not a conservative. Because a conservative not only wants to conserve them, he wants to do what? What? Pass them down. So let me give you a hint. My wife, is she a conservative? Well, when she was a young girl, her mother, did she make you take piano lessons? She beat you? She had a piano teacher. I've heard of this woman. I think I met her years ago, Mrs. Dillon. Mrs. Dillon was her piano teacher, one of them. She taught her how to play the piano. So my wife has spent 27 years in this church doing what? You know what a conservative is? Look at me in the eyes. A conservative is not a person that sits in a pew picking their nose wondering what's for lunch. A conservative is conserving something and then passing it down for someone. That's the nature of conservatism. Why do you share the gospel? Because it's the only hope we have. I want to share that with people so they have that hope. Why do we talk about the whole counsel of God? We're trying to pass it down. Second Timothy 3:15, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Where from? From his mother and his grandmother. We simply want to pass on our heritage through those who follow us. So a conservative believes in conserving some things for someone. Let me say it another way. A monk, a hermit, or living in a monastery, you cannot be a conservative. Because a conservative, look at me, is always trying to conserve it for those who come after us. You have to pass it down. So, we have a guy. He's not a good guy. He's a bad, not as bad as Louis and Robert, of course, but Duncan, you know how bad he is. I've been here 27 years. He's been in charge of WANA. Do you know what a WANA is? Do you know what a WANA is? It's passing down the Word of God and the faith to the next generation. Are you involved? What are you doing with your life? What are you, by the way, when it comes to being a conservative, you not only want to conserve the best, you want to pass the best on. One of the ways is through WANA. One of the ways is teaching piano. One of the ways is Mrs. Hall. Do you know how many people she taught math? Nobody knows. She tried to teach some others math too, I will admit. But it's what? It's passing it on. I'm happy that the very quiet Brenna's here today. And she gave a great testimony. She gave a great testimony a Tuesday night about, you know, down at school. She's at Purdue. She's in her doctoral program. I'm very happy for her. But listen, she gave testimony about her preparation. And I told her this morning, I'll say to you publicly. Well, number one, she comes from pretty diligent parents. She also had some pretty good teachers. I wasn't one of them, Brenna. I'm sorry, but you did have some. Taught you English and math and some others. By the way, she went to Bob Jones and she got a good education. Do you understand the process, friend? You're passing it down. It's what we're doing. So somebody that's a monk or a hermit, or look at me, spends their life in front of television or their little telephone, they're not a conservative because they're not conserving it for anybody. We're passing it down. If you're not around people, you're not a conservative. You're not connected to people, interested in people, not passing it down, you're not a conservative. Awana, teaching piano. Cliff over here. I can't say anything good about Cliff, but I'll say something good about Judy. I love it that you guys are in charge of the young people. You know why? Because you're trying to do what? By the way, you came from the Philippines. You joined our country. Did you all get that? You know, when George Washington spoke, most of the people weren't from America. You do know when he fought the famous battle when they crossed the Delaware and defeated the Hessians, you do know those German people, they were not just Hessians, that was just a title. You do know they have the documents in English and in German. He offered all of those people who wanted to stay in America citizenship as long as they would then support the Revolutionary War. Huh? Conservatives not hating people, it's including people. Thank you for doing that. Boy, now it gets harder. Dave and Nicole. I hate to say anything good about Nicole, but I have to. I'm serious. By the way, I'm happy you guys are trying to pass on to the College and Career Age group. How about you? Are you happy? By the way, this is what we're here to do. That's what it means to be a conservative. A conservative is someone who is conserving something for someone. Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, the same commit thou to faithful men. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Four generations. A conservative believes in conserving. There are things worth conserving. And we're passing all of those that are true, good, honest, beautiful. We're passing it down. We're trying to conserve it. That's what it means. Well, thirdly, now I go places you're not ready for. Revelation chapter 21, please. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. So we are conserving something or some things for someone. From, by the way, it has to come from somewhere. It comes from somewhere and it comes from someone's. So in a real sense, Christianity is never you alone. You always got it from someone. That doesn't mean you follow everything they taught. But you got it from someone or someone's, usually it's plural. You heard about the gospel, you heard about Christ, you were sooner or later got saved. You're taking that which was passed on to you to pass on to the next generation, but you got it from a place and you got it from people. Everybody got that? Now, I'm going to go into Revelation 21 in a minute. Here's where, please look at me, friend. I'm going to challenge everybody in this room. I believe this, and I am not saying that every conservative believes this. I don't believe God makes mistakes. How many of you believe that? So, Cliffy, I don't think it's a mistake that you grew up in Dumaguete, speaking Cebuano. I don't think it's a mistake under God that you joined the United States Navy. Atom, I don't think it's a mistake that you grew up in Manila or in Marikina. And that you come from a family that's from Pampanga. And that you know that. By the way, I don't think any of this is a mistake. Do you? I don't think it's a mistake that you're here. Not just in this church, but in this country. Here's the one area that I'm probably different than some political conservatives. I get my conservatism from the scripture. So I want to say this. Robert, I've been to Benguet Province. Love the northern part, buddy. Best looking place I ever been in my life. The northern part of the province he's from, they have terracing. That just every place you look, as far as you can look, is the most beautiful places. When you get to where Robert's from, they have terracing too, house terracing, up the side of the mountain. Not quite as beautiful. I love it. By the way, it's no mistake that you and Mutia grew up there. Are you guys ready for the text? Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, please. Talking about the millennium and the new earth, it says this, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved. Wait a minute, stop. That's the Greek word ethne. The different ethnic groups, we're talking in the millennium and following, will still be recognized for being different. And he's saying, listen, the different ethnic groups, skin color, hair texture, physical attributes, languages, all of that, of them that are saved, shall walk in the light of that city, and the kings of the earth do bring their honor, glory, and honor into it. So the very nature of ethnicity and peoples is not a mistake, and both in the church and in our country and in eternity, all of us will be gathered there. Can I say this? We're not all suddenly going to become white or black or whatever color you are. God was pleased to save you as you are. And part of conservatism, listen, is not only conserving the gospel and gospel worship and gospel lifestyle and the whole counsel of God and the best of America, but friends, God saved you. You were born in different locations, and the very best and the good of that ought to come together with the good of America to make things for the greater good until Jesus comes. Here is my greatest difference. I don't believe the Lord makes mistakes. God is sovereign. God providentially and actively is involved in every single individual's life. Listen, friend, you are to conserve everything that is good, right, true, and beautiful from your background and bring it into the mix. So everything that is good, right, true, and beautiful, bring it into the mix from your background. By the way, look at me. That means in America, that means in this church. So I'm going to say it. If you wear culturally different kind of clothing, I like it. You know why? Because God likes it. As long as it's the way, beautiful, good, right, bring it. Mix it in. Now, if there's something that's wrong from your culture, evil, false, or ugly, leave it there. Bring everything that's good. Abraham Kuyper wrote a book 100 plus years ago. He was the prime minister of Holland. Christian man, brilliant man. He wrote a book, which the title is very deceiving because it has nothing to do with what we think of, called Lectures on Calvinism. But it was about culture. It wasn't about doctrine. Look at me. He said something in the early part of the book, and I like, he said, I think the greatness of America is what you see. He said, every other country has one ethnic group with the problems of just that ethnic group. He says, the greatness of America is people are from every place, and they bring all the good things and mix that all together for better things. And can I tell you this? Friend, I am a conservative. I believe there are things worth conserving. I'm going to conserve everything I can from Christianity and my heritage. But I believe your heritage has value too. Can I say this? Filipinos. Oh my goodness. Are they good with hospitality? You know, unsaved Filipinos are good with hospitality. It's embarrassing. Americans used to be, before we got TVs in every bedroom and busy, bring it. Bring all the good. Meld it together in our church and in our culture. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't want anybody getting angry. If you speak other languages, I beg you, teach your children. Teach your children as much as you can. Look at me. It's not an accident that you came from where you come from. Can I say this in a funny way? You can speak more than just English. So can your children. I think it's beautiful. Give your children everything. If I go with Rolando, look at me. I love lots of food. Obviously, I love lots of food. You say, do you like German food? Oh, way too much. Do you like Italian? Way too much. But if I go with Rolando, we're not going to German or Italian. We're going to Mexican. We're having some tacos. You say, why? Because he likes them and I like them. And that's part of his heritage, and I'm happy with it. Bring your heritage in. Rejoice in the way God has made you and where you're from. Use the languages. Use your foods. Use your customs. But we have all kinds of customs. Not all the customs I grew up with I like. Germans had some weird customs. My wife grew up with the same ones. Pickled herring in white sauce. I don't know why as a kid I thought it was a good idea. It's not a good idea as an old man. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. But when I was a kid, we had, Christmas time you had herring of, sister, you don't like it either? But you're more German than me. Marzipan candy, we had that, all kinds of these weird customs. By the way, friend, I think you bring it all. When I go over to Louis Heras's, I don't want him to be making me hamburgers. I want him to make me some shomai, because I think he's a good cook with shomai. I want that part of the heritage. They're not here today. They're out at a gathering in Detroit. Friends, when I'm around Satish, I want some good Indian food. You say why? Because I don't think your culture is an accident. And I think conserving means conserving the best of everything to make something even better. That's, can I tell you, that's my dream. You say, that's a fantasy. It might be a fantasy, but I'm holding on to it until the day I die. I want to add everything and make everything better. I don't want to subtract. I don't want to replace. I don't want to change America. I kind of like the law and order. I kind of like the Constitution. I kind of like all of it. I'm not a fan of changing anything like that. Now, I remember the first time I met Ade. He was even more handsome back in those days. Well, maybe not. You know, you don't remember my first meeting, and I don't remember what we talked about, but this is what I remember. He did this. And for the life of me, Ade, you know what? I'm American. I thought, is his arm hurt? I thought maybe you hurt your arm and you're holding your arm so it doesn't hurt. Well, then I found out, what's that? That's how you honor people. Thank you for saying that I'm older than you. I love you for that. But it's an honor. By the way, keep that. First time I went to the Philippines. Now, in Manila, it's not an issue. Went up to La Union, where Pastor Manong Nelson was from. And that guy had a grin this wide because he's speaking Ilocano, his language. And we gathered together that Wednesday night, and after the service was over, the kids came in, about 60 of them. And I had to mano every single kid in the room. It wore me out. But can I say something? I like it. Do you know why? Because I believe, here's what it means to be a conservative. I believe there are things worth conserving. Do you agree with me? So we're conserving some things for someone's, the next generation, the second generation, the third generation, from somewhere. And look at me. If you come from a good, godly family, conserve every piece of it. I don't care where your ethnicity, language, culture, some of those kinds of things like that that are very honorable, Ade. That's a very honorable thing. When I grew up in the country, my wife grew up this way, if an older person came in the room, you better get out of the chair. If you didn't, it was death. Now we got kids that, it's like, no, because that's respect. It's one of the ways we showed respect and honor. I can't even imagine. If I would have back-talked my great-grandmother, there's only one thing you would have known. I would not be alive. You didn't ever dream of back-talking. Now I'm going to close with one last statement. I told you I believe in conserving. Did I not? Look at me. Look at me. But I had a person come to me and say, well, Pastor Warren, my culture, we drink wine. Do you think it's all right to conserve drinking wine? And I looked at them, and this is sarcastic and cynical and irony. I said, yeah, I come from a Germanic culture. We don't drink wine, we drink beer. Do you know most of the big breweries in America are German breweries? Friends, I don't drink beer because that's not part of my Christian heritage. You say, well, it's part of, listen, I'm all for the brats. I'm all for some sauerbraten. I'm all for spätzle. I'm all for, what is that other kind of meat? Rouladen. Jamie, whenever you want to make me some. Listen, folks, I'm all for all of that. Look at me. The bad stuff, leave it some other place. Let's join together for the glory of God together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. These things seem simple and beautiful, and it's the way I want to live. We might be lone voices in the wilderness, but I'm going to keep shouting it until the day I die. I'm thankful you don't make mistakes. and we can join together and meld together as a country and as a church, all the beauty, the good, the right, and the true. And yes, we can leave some other things some other place. And we will rejoice together in the Son of God and in the gospel to the glory of God. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand, please.